Go. Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our Thursday
Woo-hoo.
evening bracket rundown show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by an all-star cast here. We've got
Yes, I am an all-star.
David Griggs, the
Thank you.
puppet, who is not the star. We've got
I am the
John
star.
Tytel to my other
I'm the
side, one of the
star.
best bracketologists
And I told
in
you
the
I don't
world.
want to be up here. Move me down
Another
there.
great bracketologist down below us from bracketeer.org, Rocco Miller. To his sides, we have Joby Fortson, and we have Mike Cha and his cat somewhere too, or at least we had his cat before we came on.
Wait,
But
no, no cats.
no
There's a
cats,
cat.
okay.
Oh,
We can have the
okay.
cat attack the puppet. Mike back with us again for the first time in a while. And we've got a lot to get to tonight. If you're looking to find out about the conference tournament games and the exciting double overtime game that we saw earlier this evening, that's going to come up later on this evening on our Championship Week video notebook that you can find. I guess maybe it's up or down or other
I don't
direction
know.
of
I don't know if we haven't decided where to put that yet.
it. But we are recording this a little around 10:30 p.m. though on Thursday, February 25th, which means, among other things, that games that have not yet gone final, unless they go final during the show, will not be considered, including an Oregon Stanford game going on right now, a close San Francisco BYU game, a close Ohio State Michigan State game. Not really considering those. Minnesota in trouble as well as we record. But what we are going to do, in very short description of it, is kind of mimic what the selection committee does during the first two of their three steps of the selection process. We are going to choose the at 37 at-large teams and simultaneously, although they do it in separate steps, rank them one through the end of the at-large field. After the show is done, we'll go ahead and add in, well, during the show, actually, we'll add in all the rest of the single bid conferences to get to 68 teams. After the show is done, we'll bracket it up and you can see the bracket down below us.
Down
If you
there.
looked at it already, you cheated. You ruined the show. Just stop watching and go watch something else, right?
Right, yeah. And again, we're not necessarily, well, not at all, really, not even not necessarily trying to guess the actual committee. This is our own bent. This is what we think the field would look like if we were in charge of it.
Yep, and I pulled up the sheet we're going to be using here. As you can see, we'll be able to fill in teams one at a time. The first four seed lines, we call them protected seeds. It's less applicable this year with all the games being in Indy. We'll be able to see various
Right.
different metrics such as the net, the strength of schedule, KenPom, JNG ratings, all like that. All that stuff popping up on the screen as we go through these. We'll be able to look at team sheets as we go through it. I'm going to ask one of you to give me each line. And then from there, we will kind of debate it back and forth.
Yes.
And if there is a consensus, we move on. If there's no consensus, well, one of us will serve as the tiebreaker.
Chad, real quick, 30 seconds, just you. A bit of news came out
I
today
was about to
about,
get there,
yes,
David. So,
okay, thank you. All right, go
yeah,
for it.
the NCAA came out with a bit of news saying I think it is important to note this, that because of everything going on with COVID, if a team withdraws from the tournament consideration before the selection, before the field is announced, I think at least before like 11 a.m. on selection Sunday. Obviously, the committee won't put them in. If they're an at-large team, they just won't be in. If they're an automatic bid winner, each conference has a rule for who its next up automatic qualifier would be, beyond the conference tournament champion. So that would become the automatic bid winner from that conference. If a team has to withdraw in the 48 hours between selection Sunday and Tuesday night at 6 p.m., then there will be a replacement team. If it is from a single bid conference, it will be whoever that conference designates as its next up for the automatic qualifier. And that team will just take the other team's spot in the bracket. There will not be any reshuffling or reseeding or anything like that. If, however, the team is a team from a multi-bid conference, even if it's the automatic qualifier, but if it's a team from a conference with more than one bid on it, NCAA instead in that team spot will put in order one of the top, the number one team that missed out the field up to the top four teams that missed the field. So in that 48-hour window, the bracket could actually change and we could end up with a team that is just out of the field tonight, for example, being on the one seed line if a one seed has to withdraw from the tournament.
Yeah.
That's the way it would work. Did I get that right,
Right.
David?
You got it exactly right. And is that ideal? No. I
Well,
don't know.
but I
But
don't. I,
what else can you do? The structure of the tournament is that you just can't reseed the whole thing. It's just not practical
right.
at that point.
You can't receive the whole thing. And then, of course, if it's after that 48-hour period, so if it's Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, a team has to withdraw from the tournament, Their game will become a forfeit, and whoever their opponent was will advance. So we could see three 16 seeds advance past the first round because three 1 seeds go down.
And
I will say this. There is something they could have done that would have been quick, is because everybody's in the same location. Now, we have to deal with conference conference rules. But they could have set it up where you had basically where it's not ridiculous where – everybody's going to say, well, Duke might get their number one seed anyway, you know, as the last team out. They could have done it where that team slides into any spot in the 9 through 12, and 9 through 12 slides up to a 5 through 8, and a designated 5 through 8, basically the highest on each run, gets to punt up. It's only three teams you're dealing with, but you don't have the ridiculousness of a Duke, you know, being a number one seed, or a Michigan State, or, you know, et cetera.
I think the joke was, you know, if Gonzaga ends up being the only team in from the West Coast Conference, if somehow BYU collapses, they lose tonight, they lose their last two games, and Gonzaga ends up being the only team in, and suddenly Gonzaga gets shut down in those 2 days, then the next team up from the West Coast Conference becomes that number one seed in Gonzaga spot. And if BYU is suddenly shut down and a few other teams are shut down, suddenly we've got, you know, some team with a losing record like Loyola Marymount or Portland as a one seed. But that's an extreme, I think.
But it could happen.
But we really need to get moving here. So, Mike, you are with us for the first time this season doing one of these bracket rundowns. So I want to give you the honor of giving us the four number one seeds in the NCAA tournament as of right now at 10:40 p.m.
Okay. It's not hard at all. Gonzaga, Baylor.
What?
Michigan, Ohio State.
Wait a minute. Gonzaga.
David,
I've got an issue with Gonzaga on the
okay, one. Okay, David, I'm not even going to ask you about that then. Rocco, do you think there's any argument that these are not the four teams that are in this order?
No argument from me.
How about you, John?
No veto. Keep it going.
Okay. I mean, I think I personally agree that this is very clear right now in this order. I don't think there's much debate that we could really have on this. Mike, how about that? Everyone loved your one line. Joby, why don't you give me the two line then?
All right. Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be more controversy here, but because of the nature of the beast. This one goes out to Shannon, who is a fan of the JNG and is from West Virginia. West Virginia, thanks to Illinois' loss, gets the 5 spot. But Illinois doesn't fall that far. Illinois in the 6 spot. Villanova in the 7 spot. And the Tide, it was a ranked Arkansas team. It wasn't, you know, and it was tight until about, you know, 5 minutes to go. Alabama is the last one. But there are other contenders, especially out of the Big 12.
I'll tell you what. John, let me go back to you. Do you like Joby's two seeds here?
I really do. And the point I want to mention about Illinois is with Ayo Dosunmu's facial injury, he's missing their game the other night against Nebraska. And I think that it's not too crazy to say that, depending on the seriousness, this could be the most significant NCAA tourney injury since, like, Kenyon Martin back in the 90s. Like, this is a major injury in terms of, with him, they're Final Four good. Without him, they're really not.
Well, it's a broken nose. I mean, I would assume that we're going to see him back pretty soon with one of those face masks on, wouldn't we? That seems to be, I mean, a broken nose, in my experience at least, has not been something that knocks you out for more than maybe a game or two.
Yeah, it's not like Kenyon Martin broke his leg and there was just no way to play. I'm not going to say it's not going to affect him. I mean, it's certainly not comfortable playing with a broken nose.
And it could cut down your visibility if you're wearing one of those masks.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah. And so I don't want to say it's a complete non-factor, but I do expect him to return. It's not like he broke his hand or his leg or something like that. It's his nose. And no one likes getting their nose broken. It is a miserable experience. Real quick, because I know we got to keep moving. Villanova has a 2-seed profile. I don't know if I think they're a 2-seed on the court, at least not lately, but I don't know. Anybody else?
Well, David, who would your team be instead of Villanova? Let's make sure we're able to compare them to somebody.
The goal here. Okay. I don't want to say who my team is because everyone's going to laugh at me and say that I told you so if I admit that team is Iowa.
Oh, God. I'm not a fan of Villanova for the same reason I'm not a fan of Iowa. Their defensive efficiency isn't there, and Iowa's really isn't there. Really.
But at least Iowa has been winning.
The problem is that none of the other teams have really stepped up to say, hey, put me at number two. Well, if you look at the number three seed teams, they haven't really stepped up.
Yeah.
So, Mike, would you have Villanova over Iowa?
Ooh, that's close. We know Iowa lost. I would say, yeah, but it's close.
Yeah, and I look at the fact that he got seven losses versus three losses. I get that they were good losses. Putting aside the argument that nobody in the Big Ten has beaten anybody of note in non-conference play all season, which is something we really don't want to get into because we spent about an hour on that. But
yeah, that's a Hoops HD report.
I guess on that note, Rocco, I didn't ask you. You know, are we good on this line also here?
I think so. I think it's interesting that Jovi's got West Virginia all the way up to five. In a way, I like it a lot. You know, I think I love road wins. I know the committee does. I know Jovi's formula does.
And I do.
I love what West Virginia's done on the road. They've won at Lubbock. They've won in Austin. They've won in Stillwater. They beat WKU. They won that tournament, with WKU in there. And also just a nice host of wins, a sweep over Texas Tech, in fact. So I'm more and more impressed. If you look at wins against the field, which you know the committee does, West Virginia is right there with Illinois. They both got seven. Iowa also has seven, which is, I think, keeping them in the conversation. So I don't know if I go all the way up to five, but I think they belong on the two now that Iowa got blown out today.
Yeah, especially with that Iowa loss today. David, I'm not that certain how you have them in there. Maybe you made your field before they lost the game. I'll give you credit for that. But
John, you have to watch both halves and then just ignore the second half.
Okay. John, let me go to you for the three line.
I think we got to get Iowa in here. No shame in losing at Michigan. Yeah. I think we got to get Houston in their big non-conference win today, and kudos to them for making it happen. We need to get Joby some ACC love, so let's get the Seminoles in here. And then as far as a fourth one, I think Kansas and Oklahoma are a coin flip. I'll go with Oklahoma only because they were really good most of the season and have struggled a little bit recently. But Kansas certainly has a profile that's getting better every single week.
Yeah, Kansas, a team that was on the verge of dropping down to maybe wearing a dark jersey in the first round at one point, just a few weeks ago. But yeah. Joby, this Kansas team flying up the seed list. Do you agree with John that they're not quite a three seed yet, though?
I would have them as a three seed, and wouldn't be Oklahoma. I remember I said take a Big 12 team, you know, when we were discussing, you know, Nova and Alabama. Kansas and Oklahoma were both on there. Houston, the win against Western Kentucky tonight actually is the strongest argument John has for Houston, because Houston has done some really dumb things, including losing their lead in the American. They're no longer the regular season leader in the American, which is a deal when you're Houston and you don't have a lot of opportunities. You need to get every little chit for the committee you can, and losing that might cost them against a team like Kansas and Oklahoma.
Yeah, David, Western Kentucky, though, believe it or not, they are 76 in the net heading into today, which means that only counts as a tier three win. You got to search for that Western Kentucky win on this Houston profile.
Yeah, the committee will know.
The committee will know it, but it's like at the first glance.
I mean, Central Florida stinks. I mean, though they did beat a three seed that we all agree on.
David, would you be with Joby to take Kansas over Houston?
No, I have Houston just ahead of them, but it is close. And when I mean just ahead of them, I had them like one right behind the other. I like the other teams on this line. Another team that I would still throw up there, and I know that they're having their issues right now, but I still love the Longhorns.
I think it's a little early for Texas. Maybe just a line early.
I had them in the mix with the teams we're talking about, is what I was saying.
I'll tell you what, I mean, I think that we're looking at John's line staying the same, and I want to go to Rocco for the four line as we're flying through the top. I don't think we're going to move quite as quick as we get to the middle of the bottom, but
I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if Kansas surpassed Houston eventually.
Probably not.
I'd agree with that, definitely, Mike, because they've got better opportunities here. I mean,
Kansas, oh, yeah.
remaining schedule.
They're playing Baylor on Saturday, right?
They're playing Baylor on Saturday, and I thought they were scheduled two more games for them for next week as well.
We've got Oklahoma.
No, they're done.
Oh, they are done.
They're done, and then they just scheduled UTEP on Friday next week.
Okay, so they get a game against UTEP. That's a powerful resume.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they'll find the same fate North Carolina did.
Rocco, why don't you go ahead and give me the four line then?
Sure. I got Texas next, and
then
Kansas.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then Kansas.
Yeah,
then things get really muddy for me, honestly. So I'm interested to hear the debate, but I do still mainly because the committee really liked them at the bracket reveal. I have Tennessee in the 15 spot, and then I have Creighton at 16.
Let's go to a few other people first. Mike, let me start with you. What do you think about this, especially the Tennessee and Creighton being here as four seeds? Did we lose you, Mike?
I should mention that USC is getting pounded, and that's part of the reason why they're not included.
USC down 12 late as we record this. Sorry, but Mike, go ahead.
Anyway.
Yeah. Another team I would consider is Virginia, but it's kind of, like I said, it gets muddled.
I would not consider Virginia.
You would not consider Virginia. No. John, what about you? Would you consider, do you think Rock actually got it right with Tennessee and Creighton then?
Tough to like this Tennessee team, and I like them more than most have this season, but they just seem to be going in the wrong direction at the wrong time. I think we can at least discuss or put Arkansas under consideration just because a great win the other night on national TV. And they're really just talk about Kansas skyrocketing. Arkansas is right with them, I think.
This is an Arkansas team that we debated just a few weeks ago did not belong in the field, and we're now talking about them for a protected seed.
It's amazing.
And I think it's a legitimate argument to make for them, actually.
They are definitely soaring up the seed list, but I would not consider Arkansas here.
One thing Rocco did mention, which I do like, is you look at the bracket reveal, you know, and Tennessee was mentioned, but Tennessee and Missouri. Missouri has lost three games since they were against non-protected seeds, and Tennessee's lost two. The committee basically, I have found over the years, drops you a full seed line on average, depending what other people are doing, when you have one of those losses. This Tennessee team has dropped, in my opinion, at least two seed lines since that bracket reveal. But I do, as a basis, and I think that's deserved. You know, we're not trying to mimic the committee, but I do think it's deserved. I would even have trouble with Tennessee on the five line right now.
I agree, but with Mizzou, the way they've been playing, I would not have them up here.
If we're going to take Tennessee off, somebody's got to tell me who we got to put in here. Joby, okay. Who would you put in here?
Yeah, you from the ACC, you know where I'm going, and it's not my school. I'm dead serious. Look at the darn Clemson profile.
Oh, no. No.
Look at the Clemson profile. Oh, Clemson. I'm just saying. Look at it.
Look at those two road wins.
Rocco, what about the idea of putting Clemson in over Tennessee?
Nine tier one and two wins, and those are good tier one and two wins except for Mississippi State.
Yeah, I think just the part with Clemson, you know, the predictives aren't great. Obviously, I like the resume a lot, and the resume metrics are great, and I think that's really good for Joby's model and the KPI.
Where's Clemson?
But I think you're right. The road wins, the sub, you know, the only winning three out of eight chances in Q1 doesn't really scream protected seed to me. Not that these other ones are great options either. My next choice would be Arkansas. Like John said, I would actually go with them as my next choice if we're not going to take Tennessee.
I don't know.
I'll tell you what.
Just because they have a clean profile.
Arkansas is the only team I've heard more than one of you support. So, by process of elimination, Arkansas ends up being the last of our.
No, Chad, you can't put them there. You can't put them or Creighton there.
Did David? What you can do is go ahead and give me some five seeds.
Well, no, I just want to make it clear that I only think we should put two teams on the four line right now.
David, give me some five seeds.
Yeah, you got a bunch of teams that are five or six seed worthy, but not necessarily four.
Right, Texas. Well, okay. Here's one that, although they've been struggling lately, I still have on the five line the Red Raiders of Texas Tech, and they've kind of they've kind of nosedive a little bit. I've got Purdue next. I just like how they're playing, and I know that their profile isn't perfect, but I would almost I almost like them more than Creighton. In all honesty, I did have Arkansas as a protected seed, but I just wanted to say that I only wanted two teams on the four line. The next one, and God, this team's going in the wrong direction, but overall, I think they've got a strong profile. I have Missouri, and then...
Wait, you still wouldn't have Virginia, Clemson, or Tennessee, though, at this point. Is that correct?
Virginia was next.
Okay.
And oh, is Tennessee not in? No, yeah, I wouldn't have Tennessee here, but I thought we put them in. No, I didn't have them on the five line either.
Okay.
If you hate Clemson's predictive metrics, why in the world is Missouri even thought of here?
Yeah. And then, let's ask that question. Why do we have Missouri and not Tennessee or Clemson? Mm-hmm. Is kind of the question here.
Okay. It's not like I have those teams miles and miles behind them, but I like the tier. I mean, Mizzou won at Tennessee and they won at Arkansas, and Tennessee, I just think that beats it. I know that they won at Missouri and you're kind of splitting hairs here, but I love the win at against Illinois, even though it wasn't on the road. I think Alabama also, while at home, Alabama, a very good road team, and the wins at Tennessee and the wins at Arkansas, just, I think that it beats what Tennessee's done by a little bit, not by a lot. I mean, is this clear? No. Did I go back and forth, like sort of turning them over one over the other? Yeah, a little bit, but I think that they top out a little higher. And to be honest, I think if they played right now, I think Mizzou would probably win the majority of the time, even if it was a slight majority. And I just don't like how Tennessee's looked. I know that recency bias, it shouldn't be a thing, but they just haven't looked that good recently. Not that Mizzou has.
Okay. Well, John, what do you think of his arguments that Mizzou is a team over a Tennessee or a Clemson at this point? And the other three teams he put in here too, by the way.
I like Joby's Clemson argument a lot. I mean, like, they still don't blow me away, but if you look at their paper, like, they're as worthy as anybody who's not in right now.
Yeah, how about that, Mike? Isn't Clemson worthy?
If you like road wins, they're not, but everything else is great.
And they got some big neutral court wins. And I've stressed this before. A lot of times you hear the committee members talk about road neutral record, not road record.
Then put them in.
And remember, if we're praising the win at home against Alabama, I'll take a neutral court win over Alabama with wins over Florida State, who's really close to Alabama on the seed list. And yeah. Purdue, who we already have it.
I think that's a lot of love for a team I know that they talk about road neutral, but neutral is not true road.
A neutral is also not home. So
Clemson's profile is clean. There's no, all the losses are tier one. They got three solid wins.
Yeah, all their losses are tier one by large margins.
You gave Arkansas a protected seed for a clean profile. Why can't you give one to Clemson?
Arkansas's done a little more.
A little more. Not a lot more, a little more. Chad, four versus a five. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw in there, I would actually have USC still here, even with the Colorado loss. Yes, above Clemson, above Virginia for me, and above Texas Tech, actually.
What about that, Joby? Shouldn't USC be here? Maybe it gets over one of these.
I don't have the...
Virginia.
It hasn't gone final yet. So
well, I'm counting the loss. Personally.
Yeah, if he counted as a loss, no. If you count it as a loss, no. It's not but a bad loss. If they somehow come back, they retain. Once again, I think a key factor is, do they retain the overall undisputed lead in the Pac-12 with UCLA? Very impressive tonight, UCLA, by the way. Then all of a sudden they're no longer alone at the top of the Pac-12. And that's that little hit, I think, would give me for Clemson, Virginia in that particular case.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and USC.
They're on the verge.
I assume USC is going to be at the sixth line, but Mike, I'm going to let you give us the sixth line here. We do have Missouri, Tennessee, and USC all under consideration.
Oh, geez.
I would think all three that belong in this line, but it says you might not mind.
Yeah, you got Missouri, Tennessee, USC. I'm good with that.
So give me one more.
Ooh, let's see. Oh, Clemson's been mentioned. Never mind. Oh, no, Purdue's been mentioned.
Purdue, we did get in there, yeah.
Yeah, Purdue's mentioned.
How about
a team that's beaten three teams that are, we've already put in our field that without a ton of bad losses?
What team is that, Joey?
Virginia Tech.
That's what we just mentioned, Vatek. Yep. All right. I think that I like that line a lot, actually, but I'm not the final call here. Let me run by a couple others of you. John, let me start with you. What are your thoughts on these four teams coming in here?
Probably no veto. I think Wisconsin has to be under consideration, even though they have been going in the wrong direction for a month, it seems like. But they do have a lot of nice wins on their resume, I think.
Yeah. Rocco, do you agree with that? Do you agree with that we've actually got the right four teams here?
Yeah, I actually have Wisconsin and Oklahoma State after their big win this week. I have them above both Missouri and Virginia Tech, actually.
Let's kind of compare Vatek to maybe this Oklahoma State team and see if this is the swap we should make here. Joby, your thoughts on this argument here, Vatek or Okie State?
Yeah, and Okie State has the depth. I do like Okie State's depth in Tier 1, as you'll see, with the sweep of Texas Tech. That is very nice. So Oklahoma State's a very real very real competitor here for it. I think Virginia Tech, though, has the very top of Virginia Tech. I like slightly more. TCU sweep, not a fan of that. I think TCU is worse than how Pitt was at the time, that now that when they actually had all their players before they all transferred away or had their feet out the door. I would still go with Virginia Tech, but it is not a ridiculous argument with Oklahoma State and, as John said, Wisconsin. I have them right in the same group.
David, I'll let you be the tiebreaker. Vatek or Okie State?
Vatek, but it's really, really close.
Okay, then Vatek it is. I actually would have gone Oklahoma State, but I'm the host. I'm not the decision maker tonight.
I was going to go Oklahoma State until I realized you liked them.
But I will, Joby, I will let you have the next line, which I think I know who the top two teams are.
The easy top two teams. I mean, okay. I agree 100%. I would, but who is higher between the two? I'd go Wisconsin, but
I go Wisconsin first. Okay,
but it doesn't matter, Chad. But I think everybody here agrees on that. Then it gets really tough, and you know, there's a cliff right here when you're looking at your field. I am going to go, Chad, because they climb back up to respectability overall record in the conference. Your team, Rutgers. I think Rutgers is right here.
I think you nailed where
Rutgers
we are right now with
that. Be in the field.
Yeah.
Only because Chad likes. I mean, we put him in last year and look what happened.
And I am for almost effect going to Rocco, I've cited you on Hoops HD, I've cited you on Bracket Rundowns, and I agree with your very prescient comment 3 weeks ago on this team when you said this team will either be a mid-tier seed or out. They aren't going to be like in the play-in game, and that is, you nailed it, Chad, Maryland.
Exactly where you're going. And Rocco, do you like that?
Well, seven seems a little early, but I agree overall with the principle. I think the seed, it's hard to stack these wins for Maryland against anybody in this neighborhood. They just kind of blow them out if you only look at that. But you do have to take into some consideration. I know the no bad losses, which is also great for them. But they just, 15 at bats and only going 5 for 15. There's something a little concerning about that.
That's a Hall of Fame batting average.
That's right.
And it is the seven line, but
it is. It is. I think they're more like 8-9, but I can live with that.
Live with that. Mike, can you live with this line as well?
Pardon me, Chad?
Can you live with this line as well? Wisconsin, Oklahoma State, Rutgers, Maryland as seven seeds?
Wow, I'm surprised. Maryland really jumped up, but they've been hot, so I don't have a problem with it.
All right, then I think we've got ourselves a seven line. cruising along again.
I can't live with Rutgers in the field.
Well, David, I'm about to throw you off the podcast.
They belong in the field. But like, well, we put them in last year. Look what happened. That's all I'm saying.
John.
That's all there.
John, I'm going to head back to you for the eight seats.
Well, if we're going to penalize USC for losing, let's bump Colorado up here for actually beating them handily.
Good call.
Let's get Florida in here. They've been up and down, but the fact that they're doing it without Keontae Johnson, who probably is not coming back, has been amazing. And even if the committee doesn't give them extra credit because he won't be there, what they're doing is still worthy. As far as two more, I like BYU. Certainly not the most impressive resume, but just keep on winning, and very nice metrics, as you see. As far as a fourth, LSU kind of fell on its face the other day, so I think I'm going to let the Ramblers ramble on into the eighth line.
Oh, wow.
Loyola Chicago, Rocco, I know you probably don't agree with them being an eight seed.
Only because I want them to win a game, or I want them to go to the second weekend, and they can't do it from the eight spot. They got to get a 10 seed for that. But, okay. So that's just some love for the Ramblers. I think seed-wise, you got Colorado, Florida, BYU. I'm really good with those. I think those were my next three. I'd probably go Rutgers next, and then LSU after that.
But okay, we already got Rutgers in, so LSU.
We shouldn't have Rutgers in, but Rutgers is in.
Rutgers came in on the seven line there.
Okay, then I guess my next team's the new Pac-12 leader, UCLA.
LSU or UCLA?
They are in first by themselves now.
David.
Yeah.
Does Loyola belong here, or should we have an LSU or UCLA? Or I know you don't like the other team that's about to finish off a very nice home win over Boise here, so I wonder if you mention them.
Well, I still don't like them this high. I had Loyola at the top of the nine line, so it's not like there's a chasm of difference. I did have UCLA ahead of them. I would swap them out. They're a little hard to compare. Loyola, almost no losses. I mean, they do have the one and a few not great wins, but a lot of decent wins and a lot of wins on the road against teams that are okay. Whereas UCLA, they top out certainly higher. The win at Arizona is better than anything that Loyola has probably.
At the end of the day, they each have one win against a team in the field, although, you know, because Arizona is ineligible, though I don't know that Arizona would necessarily be in the field right now if they were eligible. So,
yeah, to me, when I look at that, it's really close. So I am not like beating the drum, like how the hell can you not have UCLA at 32 instead of 33, where it just
and you know what? There's not much difference between the eight and nine lines.
UCLA's resume screams a nine, more nine.
Right,
than
and
eight.
If we're here's the thing: if we're going, if we're doing the seed lit or the S curve, the only thing that's determined here is who wears white.
I'll tell you what: if that's the case, why don't we just go right onto the nine line, and Rocco, I'll go back to you for these four teams. We do have LSU and UCLA under consideration. I think you already mentioned like they're both here.
Yeah, we'll go with those two. You know, like's a strong word in this part of the bracket.
Yeah.
There's just as much bad as good. But I will say, God, this is ugly. Oregon just won on the road. Let's go with Oregon. That helps them a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, God, and I have Oregon nowhere near here.
Yeah, they just picked up a real big win tonight, though, at Stanford. Oh. So,
and I think, you know, the negative on Oregon real quick is the two losses at home to Wazoo and the Beavers. But both those games were with serious COVID issues and personnel problems. If the person on the committee assigned to the Pac-12 brings that up, I think that helps them in a seeding conversation. The next team I will go ahead and take, I guess it will be San Diego State if they win, but since we don't know, I guess I have to take Louisville. And I don't like that, but I will.
Oh, my God.
Well, David, I know you don't think either of these teams belongs in the field at all, so I'm not even going to ask you.
No, I think Oregon belongs in the field.
No, I'm talking about Louisville and San Diego State. Those are the two teams that I think.
I have San Diego State in the field, I think. Maybe not.
Let me ask somebody else. Joby, Louisville, San Diego State, I just put them both under consideration for this possible.
I have San Diego State much lower, to be honest.
It's a top 25
I have them falling, I mean, literally to the 11 and 12 lines. So I'm not on the San Diego State, but I'm also not on the Louisville team.
So where would you
go? Really not in love with Louisville here. I think, gosh, yeah, this is where we start talking, you know, I mean, it's just so awful. I will have put Boise State / San Diego State. How about that?
Winner grabs it.
Tie game with 9 seconds left.
Yeah. San Diego State has the home win over grabs UCLA it. And nothing else.
Okay, while we have a minute, Chet, can you just pull up Louisville?
Okay, let's talk about Louisville for a moment here.
Yeah. Because the reason is
Louisville's my pick.
I'm sort of in the minority here of in not just with our committee, but seemingly with everyone in the country. I don't see what there is to like here. Like Georgia Tech is not a tournament team. Duke, there is nothing there.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me go to John. You haven't played in this line yet.
Regardless, Boise State's got a better profile.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on a second.
John, your thoughts on this Louisville profile, which includes a home win over Western Kentucky, by the way. Same thing Houston did.
I hear what David's saying, but I think you should be very careful in terms of a month ago beating Georgia Tech and Duke and Seton Hall in Kentucky and Western Kentucky wouldn't have impressed anybody. Now they're all looking like really good wins, and I think that at least one of them could end up in Tier 1 very soon. So I think this profile is surprisingly good or deceptively good.
Okay, I do have a question. Have they beaten anyone at home that has a winning road record? Anyone?
David, we don't have time to go through all that.
How many teams have winning road records?
The answer is no, and they don't belong up there. They have not won a game of a tournament caliber.
They have, David. Virginia Tech 5-3 on the road.
Okay. So is that basically their whole profile?
Well, David, here's the deal. Louisville's going to finish out our 9 line because Boise State and San Diego State, as we record this, are probably going overtime, which means they probably both belong on the 10 line. But the 10 line is yours. Any four teams you like here.
Okay, it would be
again Boise and San Diego State under consideration.
Yeah, I'm just okay. I would definitely have Boise State. I know they lost, but I still kind of like this Stanford team. This is a very hard team to evaluate. So, I mean, should they be here? Should they be lower, or should they not be in at all? St. Bonaventure.
Fair.
And the next one is Colorado State.
Over San Diego State.
Yes, by one. I'm not that big on San Diego State, but I will be if they win this game.
Well, they haven't won this game as we record this. Yeah. I got to go somewhere. Tytel, let me start with you. I was pretty disgusted by the three of the four names I typed in here, but what are your thoughts on this?
I think Stanford will have to drop just because they've been losing. Obviously, losing at home to Oregon by a couple points is nothing to lose sleep about. I think we do need some A-10 team here. I don't know if it should be VCU or the Bonnies or one of several other teams, but I think this is about the spot. I like the Aztecs. I think their metrics are worthy, to be honest, if even a little higher. So I don't know if they're going to win or not since we're doing this in real time, but I think the Aztecs belong here too.
Yeah, let's pull down St. Bonaventure and VCU from this line. I think we got to put San Diego State in here, but Rocco, would you agree that we at least have to have Boise State and San Diego State definitely on this line?
I would think so, yeah.
How about the other two spots, though? Would you agree with David that's Colorado and either Stanford or the Bonnies, or would you want to go VCU or somewhere else entirely?
I would go – my next two teams on the board here are Drake is next, and I also have VCU next after Drake.
Yeah, I had VCU really close to
you. You go Drake and VCU. Mike, what about you? Do you agree that maybe we should be Drake and VCU instead of Stanford and the Bonnies? Yeah.
I would go with Drake and VCU, need an Atlantic 10 team in there, and VCU is the best.
Yeah, I think it's just a lot less repulsive of a line, David, because I don't like the Bonnies or Stanford the way they're playing right now.
I think the Bonnies are playing pretty good right now.
Let's pull up the Bonnies profile real quick here.
Yeah, and it's hard to evaluate.
Just that VCU's got a bigger chunk of 2A wins. Like a lot bigger chunk than Bonnie's. Otherwise, they're very similar. Their net's almost the exact same.
Yeah,
it should be loaded. And
they beat each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a very good profile that's on the screen right now. There's no way that team should be. That profile is better than the one we were just looking
at. And what you look at is, okay, the only thing Bonnie's having quad one is a road win at Richmond. It's just pretty much a quad two type of game anyhow. And if you want to weigh quad two, you got to go VCU, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty close. Well, I again, I don't know what to do with St. Bonaventure. I think
VCU stubbing their toe against Mason hurts, but yeah. I would concur that VCU by a nose.
I do like St. Bonaventure's profile and team better than Louisville.
David, we would pass the Louisville discussion a long way past it. And instead, Mike, why don't you give me a couple teams here for the 11 line? We do have a few teams under consideration, Colorado State, Stanford, the Bonnies. You do not have to take any of them if you don't want to, but it's we're in real hold your nose territory now.
Yeah, I would go with those teams. I mean, just lack of a better team. I mean,
Colorado State, Stanford, and the Bonnies. Mm-hmm. Do you have a fourth, or do you want me to pass it on to Joby for the fourth?
I'll choose Indiana. I'm just throwing.
Here's another. Here's a debate we're going to have.
It could be North Carolina. It could be Indiana.
Well, how about let's go North Carolina instead of Indiana?
I was going to say Carolina. Really, we have a lot of recency bias on Carolina, deservedly so. But at least they were trying to do the right thing by playing a Power 5 or Power 6 with a Big East team, you know, to fill a gap as opposed to sit out for a week. You know, yes, I had Carolina in the 8-9 game before last night. I think dropping them to the 11 line, not the first four, is the appropriate place for them.
For the home loss to Marquette, by the way.
Right, for the home loss to Marquette. We will find out that what North Carolina has done is I heard some talking heads say, well, North Carolina has really fallen out and they have a chance to play themselves back in with Florida State and Duke coming up. No. This is a bad schedule for North Carolina because now North Carolina needs to take care of business against like Duke, you know, or they aren't on the 11 line. Then they really are out or depending how things go first four in.
Yeah, Rocco, I just pulled up Indiana on the left there. Great sweep of Iowa, but now 12-11 overall, and the losses are piling up. Yeah. And Stanford on the right there.
Stretch Indiana.
Yeah.
And notice Carolina did beat Stanford, just as a note, if we come down to that debate. Yeah, I don't think we will.
You may have noticed that Carolina just did edge out Louisville.
I asked Rocco, not you.
I've got both of these teams out right now.
Okay. I'll tell you what.
Neither one.
I kind of let's if we pull Stanford back off here as well. Is there who else would you have on this line besides Colorado State and North Carolina and maybe the Bonnies?
Yeah, those are a good three.
Okay.
Next, I would just this is hold your nose time because the bubble's been blown up this week. I guess you got to go UConn next.
It's not a bad pick.
John, do you like UConn in the field?
With a healthy book night, I do, because they are night and day without him. But I'm telling you, if you want to get ahead of the curve, put the Sparty in.
Exactly. Thank you, John. They're up one on Ohio State right now.
With wins over Illinois and Indiana and Penn State and Rutgers and Duke, I mean, like, this resume is starting to look very nice.
It's looking better than Louisville's.
I'll tell you what, let's take a quick look here at a pair of profiles, actually, both Michigan State and Duke, that are fast rising. And Joby, you're up next for at least give me two teams as we head to the 12 line.
Do you think these two teams available? Because they were the two I was thinking of, especially if Michigan State closes this thing out. It's 13 seconds. They're up one on what I have. Yeah. If they close it out, Michigan State jumps not a couple of lines, in our
it's
world.
It's pretty damn huge.
Let's get Michigan State in. No matter what, if it's only one spot, if you give me another, I will. I can't believe I'm saying it. I really would go with the other blue blood, the team Michigan State beat, and that's Duke. I mean, it's crazy. I didn't think I'd ever be saying this team's name this year, but yeah.
Well, that gives us
right there. There's our two teams with among the longest tournament streaks, and they've risen up, especially Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you add in the way Kansas has been rising also, these are three blue bloods that have been quick, they've been rising late in the season, all three of them. Kentucky fell a little too far behind to join right. them.
Kentucky's been rising, but they're just too, they're not going to let a team five games under 500.
And if Indiana is a blue blood, they've been doing the opposite. So, but John, how about a couple more teams here? We have two at-large bid spots remaining in the field. Do you want to give me your thoughts on who the last two should be?
I cannot go with Minnesota since they just lost.
To Northwestern at home. Yeah, very bad.
We've already got the two 8-10 teams. I think we have to start looking outside the perennial powers. I could make an argument for Indiana, but it's not the strongest one. I think I would have to go with like a smaller team a la like a Winthrop or sadly not a Belmont, maybe a Western Kentucky.
If we could put Western Kentucky and Winthrop in here, I think they will both belong in the 12 line anyhow. The problem is it doesn't actually finish out our field because they would both come in as automatic qualifiers from the Conference USA and from the Big South there. If that's the case, Rocco, you'd be up next to give me the last two teams.
There's one that's blurry.
I'm struggling, but I guess it's we already have Michigan State in. I don't have Duke in yet. I have teams above Duke. I would have Seton Hall above Duke. I would also have maybe Xavier ahead Duke. I got to look at them closer, but I actually have Georgia Tech above Duke too. Because they've just done more on the road. Duke hasn't done much on the road.
I think there's a team that we're missing badly.
Okay, David, who are we missing badly?
Wichita State.
Yes.
They're the auto bid, right? Oh, I don't know.
No, they are not in yet. I think the Wichita State definitely should have been in here.
Yeah, I have Wichita like right in there, above Xavier, actually.
Yeah, I have Wichita, I think, ahead of Duke and Sparty, although that predates – in real time, Sparty is about to beat Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that game
there. This is a Wichita State. I mean, there isn't a whole like if you want to pull them up real quick, Chad. I mean, I think that they could even be pushed up the seed line a little bit to where.
There you go. The win over Houston. The win at Ole Miss.
In Ole Miss,
and nothing bad.
Yeah, and Ole Miss is making some tracks too. Like maybe they're not in the field, but you at least got to look at them in this same group of teams, I think. So
they'll be playing in March, just not in the NCAAs, but they will be playing in March.
Yeah, well, Ole Miss did bounce back and got the nice win at Missouri. So hey, you know, I don't think they're out of the picture here at all yet. Yeah. You know, they now swept Missouri, but I think Ole Miss should be on this board as well.
Yeah.
But let me go through here. We've got our last four teams in some order were Michigan State, Duke, Seton Hall, and Wichita State. We have Indiana, Stanford, Ole Miss, Minnesota, Xavier, and Georgia Tech all close under consideration. Mike, is there anybody else that you think is close that we did not mention at all?
I've got audio issues here, so maybe pass the buck to somebody else.
Okay, let me pass on to Joby. How about you? Is there anybody that we have not mentioned?
I wouldn't have them in our field right now, but as far as a mention, one of those A-10 teams, Richmond's roaming around. If Richmond were to get a little run by beating the Bonnies and VCU and the conglomeration of Dayton, St. Louis, in the tournament, et cetera, I think Richmond would get a serious look as a runner-up in the A-10 tournament.
By the way, Michigan State did, in fact, win that game. So I think we're right by having them in this field. They just knocked off Ohio State. Rocco, anybody else that we did not consider here?
I think I listed my next teams already. So I think we're pretty good on the board. We got Ole Miss too. Okay. Yeah. I think we pretty much got everybody. Utah State maybe is on the periphery, but I just don't think they've done enough. And they've got a losing record against the top two quads. And that's never good for a team not in the Power Six. My only emotion would be to move Michigan State up to the 10 line.
Yeah.
Well, what we could do is we could take VCU and everybody else below it and just kind of drop them down a spot here and move Michigan State.
I second the motion. call the roll and do it.
Yeah, I even go even higher than that. Not that, you know. Yeah.
There we go, Michigan State.
So this is what's called scrubbing. This is what's called scrubbing.
And just by coincidence, although they actually would not have the matchup right now, we'd have North Carolina and Duke scheduled to face each other in the first four.
So that'd be awesome. They've
never made the NCAA tournament, by the way.
That'd be awesome. That would be awesome.
I believe this is from the same conference. They would actually switch that up, and one of them would get all the other will get Wichita.
Check. Can I throw one more team out there?
Sure.
St. John's.
Okay. Do we have to? You mean throw them out as in throw them away, or
as in like keep them on that list of teams that were looking? Barely. I mean, if we're gonna have Xavier up there, I think you got to at least have the Johnnies too.
Okay. Johnny's heading in the wrong direction. Also, John.
And,
anybody else?
And when I look at that list of nine, I'm like, wow! I bet all those teams are better than Louisville.
John, anybody else that we missed?
Negative.
Okay. I'll tell you what. What I'm going to do here is go ahead and pull up the rest of the field. This is going to be teams 51 through 68, beginning with Belmont off of their loss tonight. I think they were on the 12 line. I think tonight's loss. I know that they were not at full strength, but they got blown out by Eastern Kentucky tonight. Winthrop still only has one loss. I think Winthrop is the 12. I think right now Belmont's the 13. Gaucho's also there in the 13 line, a very good team. Toledo, Furman, Liberty, all the way down to Norfolk State.
Shout out Under the Radar, Chad.
So last night we recorded Under the Radar podcast. Get a lot more information about these teams. You go back and listen to that or start watching our video notebooks that we're going to be doing.
And you don't have a top 20 team in the net that's in first place in their conference. I'm just shocked at you, Chad, that the toothpaste.
No, I went with Navy. I went with Navy, who beat Georgetown over Colgate. I think Navy's a better team than Colgate. On that note, what I want to do is run through each of you for any other final thoughts on either A, anything that we did tonight and this field, which is going to be bracketed up down below. You can see the final bracket down below here, or B, on anything else you want to discuss. Mike, are you still with us? I think we may have lost Mike there for a second. We can get him back, but Rocco, why don't I start with you then?
Yeah, I mean, why do the college basketball gods have to do this to us on Thursdays? You know, it's some of these other nights are very slow. There's lots of time to process information. There's not a million things going on. But here we are, 7 o'clock Pacific time, airing the show while all sorts of chaos is going on. Michigan State just beat Ohio State. Minnesota just lost to Northwestern. Boise and San Diego State are in overtime. Oregon beat Stanford at the Horn. And probably a million other things I didn't list. Plus we have championship week. So just an awesome time of year. This was obviously, hopefully, if people have been watching, the most difficult board we've had to build, just at least in order of seeding, because just in the last couple of days, we've seen an extraordinary amount of crazy results that didn't follow the order, tons of upsets. So it's not even March, but this has been a heck of a precursor to it. And looking forward to the next time we do it.
Joby.
I'm seeing actually, and I'll follow on Rocco's comments on the toughness of the board, but what I'm seeing is it's because it's getting more serious. The board, as you noticed, our one seed line was not much debate. Two wasn't much. Three had a little. Four didn't really, you know, but it got harder as you went along dramatically. And then by the very end, we are finally getting to the point that I don't know if our viewers knew this, that North Carolina and Duke are 8 miles apart and they have never met in the NCAA tournament. They might have a chance in the first four if Georgia Tech joins the first four with them.
You're right. If there are three, if Georgia Tech is in that first four, you're going to have an all-ACC first four battle. Why not Carolina versus Duke? Absolutely.
Duke actually has to play them both next week.
Mike, are you back? You have any other final thoughts?
I agree. I mean, Joby made a lot of good points. I mean, you know, like number one seeds, it's pretty cut and dry. I feel like, you know, there's a sizable gap among the four number one seeds. But then once you get starting to get to really to the four line, then it's like it really gets muddled. Like you can make a case for a five seed to be in the four and vice versa. So, but what really stands out is like a Michigan State just, you know, out of nowhere, it's like they were all but dead. You know, we had to administer last rites a couple of weeks ago, but now it's like they've risen just like a skyrocket.
It's amazing, you know, and by the way, you know, Indiana and Minnesota they've fallen off, and Philly, Michigan mm-hmm. State is that team from the Big Ten that we had. Yeah, you're right. We'd given up on them. John, how about you?
As far as bracket final thoughts, some very entertaining matchups. We could have a 6-11 with VCU and Vautech. For a 7-10, we could have Sparty going against one of many possible Big Ten teams there. As far as a final thought, not on the bracket, if Chad has the screen share ready, Joby alluded to it earlier, but Pitt's, these are two of their former star players, Xavier Johnson and Audis Tony, who were both star players as of last weekend, and now both in the past 72 hours have decided to enter the transfer portal and head elsewhere. And ironically for Joby's bracket, they have Pitt has three teams left on the regular season schedule, two not in the field, NC State and Wake, and of course the regular season finale at, you guessed it, Clemson, which is now going to look like a tier five win because of their roster.
Tier five. David, would you like to finish off the show with a discussion about teams other than Louisville?
Yeah, and we're going to go right to San Diego State. Really impressive win in overtime tonight against Boise State. I have been a big supporter of the San Diego State team for a while, and I'm just glad that they're on the 10 line. That's where they belong, like I was saying all along.
I thought you were going to say we belong at the 9 line and win Louisville.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Louisville has a home win against Virginia Tech, and for that, they're on the 9 line. I don't agree with that, but I'm one person. I'm not the committee. It's a committee decision.
Yes, and you were completely outvoted. I think it was 6-1.
However many people are here,
you're outvoted 6-1, and there's only six of us here. So on that note, though, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. You can check out the final bracket down below. We are also going to be recording our video championship week video notebook to discuss what happened in the Horizon League tournament in a little while here tonight. That might be above us. It might be below us.
Yeah, we don't
know. It might be.
It might be in the same.
I don't know.
Yeah.
On behalf of David Griggs and John Titel up here, Rocco Miller, you can check him out at bracketeer.org as well. Mike Cha and Joby Forza to his sides. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again in about 10 minutes with another podcast. Yeah. Have a good night, everybody.